Please be seated.
Every Sunday as we gather, we love to remember the death of our Lord Jesus through the celebration of communion. We'll partake of a piece of bread and a cup of juice as a reminder of his body crushed, his blood spilt on our behalf. And there are a number of purposes or functions for this celebration that we do. It is an opportunity for reflection, for self-examination, for confession of sin, for the remembering of all that Jesus has done at the cross. This celebration, however, is also a proclamation, and I want to turn your attention to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. There's something that we are proclaiming in this visible celebration of the death of the Lord Jesus. We're going to look at five elements of that proclamation this morning as we prepare to take communion together. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And the first element of that is just the word you, and it's plural. And Paul is telling the Corinthian church that you gather together collectively and celebrate this together. This proclamation is a gathered together proclamation. The second element is this is a proclamation about the Lord, the Lord. This is the Lord Jesus, and he is the Lord. That is, he is God in the flesh. The word Lord simply means master. He is the one in charge. He's the one in charge of a Christian's life. He is the one in charge of the universe. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. He is the sovereign one. This is a proclamation about him. And you proclaim the Lord's death. The third element is that it is his death that we proclaim. As we celebrate this, this is not something we just go through by rote as some religious ceremony. No, we're actually proclaiming together our Lord's death, that the sovereign one of the universe came in the flesh as a human and died on a cross. And he died as a substitute, that is, one who went in our place. And he died as a satisfaction, that is, one who satisfied God's anger against our sin. And he died as a substitute and a satisfaction in order to bring us to God. It was a purchase. It was the purchase price of redemption for all who would believe. And it is the purchase price of our adoption into God's family. Now we proclaim that. And fourthly, we proclaim the resurrection. You don't see the word resurrection in this verse. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. While it's not stated, it is certainly implied. We proclaim the death of one who is not dead. He's returning. He didn't stay in the ground. No, our Lord who died in our place is very much alive, and we proclaim his resurrection. He didn't stay dead. We proclaim the death of one who is alive. What a paradox. What a glorious, beautiful, hopeful paradox. The resurrection of Jesus demonstrates that his sacrificial death was acceptable before God to actually pay for sins. He didn't just die to pay for his own. He was sinless. But he died for the sins of others and completely paid for them, demonstrating that by his resurrection. And so we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The fifth element of this proclamation is that our King is returning. The Lord is coming back. And every time we gather to celebrate communion, we ought to celebrate in anticipation of his return. He's coming back. The Lord Jesus is coming back. And we remember that every time we get together. As you take the juice, as you take the bread, you and I ought to remember with joy, with confidence, with the kind of hope that only this can provide, that our King is returning. and that his reign in our hearts will one day be a manifest reign over all of the earth. That when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, he's coming back for his bride, the church, to raise those from the dead who have died in him, and to gather those together who remain and are alive, to be with him forever. This is great news. And until he comes, we proclaim his death. This is the life of a Christian. Looking back and looking forward. Looking back at the purchase price of our redemption through the cross. Through the death of our Lord. And looking forward in anticipation of him taking us to our heavenly home. The men are going to come forward and pass out the cup and the juice. After a time of self-examination, confessing any sin, remembering the Lord's death, and anticipating his return, take the bread and the juice. I interrupt your reflection and meditation for a moment. I failed to mention, and this is important, that this celebration is for Christians. It's for believers. And every believer, you don't have to be a member of Grace Bible Church, but you have to be in Christ to have turned from your sin and embraced his death as your only hope for salvation. Every Christian here this morning, this is for you to celebrate. If you're not a believer here this morning, we're so glad that you're here. We'd love to be able to speak with you about what it means to be a genuine believer, what it means to know Christ and be guaranteed of eternal life. So if you're not a believer here this morning, don't take these celebration symbols. But you have an opportunity today to turn to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Go ahead and take the bread and the juice when you are ready.